All right. Good morning, everybody. Have fun. Last Sunday of the year. Woo! Well, as we leave 2018, and it appears God wants us to enter into 2019, 2018 is now recorded as part of the history of your life. You know, we're not responsible for everything that happened in 2018, but we are responsible for how we handle it. We were responsible to take care as best we could this past year. The choices we've all made in 2018 are ours to own. Some of those choices have been negative, and you need to own that. And some of them have been positive, and you need to own that too. Because it's in the ownership that gives us the power to do something different. When we don't own our decisions, we put them on somebody else. And then we are frustrated, resentful, angry, and walk around as victims. But when we own what happens to us, it changes us and gives us freedom to do something different. You know, this last year is just a slice of your life. In my life, it's 1/62nd of my life. It's a little piece of my life. It could have had profound effects, and for some of us, it did. For others of us, it was another year, another slice of our life. That's why we have to own each year. One of the problems many of us have is we own 20 years ago. 40 years ago, we take that one slice, and it might even have been 5 years. We take that one chunk of time, and we wear that in the present as if that is the present. I'm not owning the present. I'm owning something that's already happened that I have absolutely no control over anymore. It's part of my history. It's good to leave history in history and deal with the ramifications, own the ramifications of that, so that I can then make choices to effectively make decisions about how I'm going to live moving forward. But if I own the past as my present, then I am still a victim, because most of the time when we own the past, we own the victim. Put of it. The only way you become a survivor and a thriver is to deal with what happened and own your choices from here on out. So we have this year. In the history of your life, this year is done. My prayer for you is that you've owned it, and that the decisions that were effective, you're going to have the consequences of that. The decisions you make that were not effective, you're going to have the consequences of that. Own it. Take responsibility for that. That's how we move forward. Listen, in Luke 16:10, we're told this: whoever can be trusted with very little. Last year was a little slice of your life. How'd you work in it? How'd you handle it? Can also be trusted with much. We can also hold much. So from God's perspective, the very little is what you're currently living in. How are you handling what is currently on your plate? Are you owning that and taking responsibility for it? That enables you to move forward. God said, listen, if you can handle this, then I can add to you. But when we're pushing this aside and moving it over and don't want to deal with that and don't want the other, and asking God for more, he's handcuffed. He wants to prosper us. He wants to bless us, but we can't handle it. So he has to step back and then continue to teach us to handle what's going on right now well. Because you're all handling it. We're all handling what's going on right now in our lives. The difference is, sometimes we're handling it well, and sometimes we're not. We do have the capacity that God has given us to handle it all well. Even the down stuff, even the things that happened in 2018 that we'd never would have chosen, God still gives us ways to handle it. And then he said this, and whoever is dishonest with very little, it's interesting that being faithful with little and dishonest with little coincide with one another. He says, also will be dishonest with much. And I want to touch a little bit on my life to give you an example of that. You know, we're in this facility now. Some of you newer people, if you've been here within the last 7 years, you've never seen, or unless you've went to visit, our old church. We've been in this church since early 2012, where we merged with Christ Church, which was the original group that had this. But from 96 to 2012, 16 years, we were at a church that had approximately 5,000 square feet of property. It had two buildings. They sat as an L almost. And combined, it was 5,000. That's as big, that's smaller than the sanctuary, actually. And we did church in it for 14 years. We were faithful with the little. We did what we could with the little. But and there are many a times I asked God to get me out of there because I felt like a failure. Because in 1996, when I went to that church and was kind of put in charge to a degree, there were 25 people. And in 2005, when I was begging God to get me out and actually actively seeking to get out of that church, you know, talking to some other churches about maybe I could be a teaching pastor or something, we had approximately, on a good Sunday, we had about 50 people. And I don't care what kind of business you're in. To be in a business for 10 years and to have a 20-person increase, you feel like failure. You feel like a loser. You feel like, you know, failure pretty much sums it up. And God spoke to me. And he said this, he said, I'll bless you if you go, and I'll bless you if you stay, but I gave this to you. Now, he didn't say one word to me, which to my amazement, like, you're a loser, Joe. For 10 years, you haven't done squat. He didn't say one word of negativity to me. He spoke a truth, and I'll talk about it in a minute, but he didn't say, I'm so disappointed in your lack of abilities. Here I go, put you into a spot, and look what you've done in 10 years. You can't even keep people. They would come in, they'd come to a service, they'd come to a couple, they'd leave. I mean, it was a lot of work. What I come to find out, blessing means to add value. He says, I'm going to add value to you. And it was singular, to me. I will add value to you, Joe, if you stay, and I will add value to you if you go. I, my part, God says, I will add value. I will bless you. And the big blessing I've come to understand over the years, because I've thought many a times back on this, the big blessing was he was always with me in it. He never left me those 10 years. He never abandoned me when I was doing well. He never abandoned me before I ever even knew him. He was always with me. He was always caring for me. So that's the biggest blessing you can have. But he said this to me. He said, but I gave this to you. I gave you this little thing, if we were to look at it from Luke 16:10's perspective. And you, Joe, were dishonest in it. I gave this to you, and you didn't do anything to add value to it. You didn't add value. I'm going to add value to you. But you didn't add value to this. You and don't tell me like you've been telling me for years. It's the people. It's the size of the building. It's the location. It's these, you know, it's Calvary Chapel. It's this group. It's that group. It's everybody else. I'm teaching your word and they're not coming. He goes, you're dishonest. I placed in your heart before 1996... when you were at the rescue mission, I placed in your heart visions and ideas and dreams of what church would attract the people who I felt called to. What would attract recovery people? What would attract addicts? What would attract the fringes into a church? He goes, you never applied it. He didn't say this, but that little phrase said it all. But I gave you this. You can apply that to your own lives. I was dishonest. He gave me that, and I was afraid. I tried to do some things, and I was afraid of what the people said. I wanted to lead. I wanted to be in charge, but I wanted to be in charge from the back so that any direction they make, is this okay if we go this way? Oh, well, I'm going to go this way. Everybody good with that? No. Okay, we won't go that way. That's kidding. What was I thinking? I was Joe people pleaser. I had this vision, I had this idea, but when it was shot down and I was so concerned with keeping whoever came in that I was willing to move all around. None of you guys have ever done this, but there are people like me out there. So if you see any of them, you can tell, share this with them. I was dishonest. I didn't own what was given to me. I didn't add value to it. I didn't bless it. Sure, God saved people. He did amazing things in groups of things. I mean, God was still doing his thing. And that slice, that one little year, 2005, about the middle of 2005, that one slice of year changed my heart and the direction of how I was going to do life after that. See, I was the guy that failed for lack of doing something. And I know there are people in here on your own personal world. You fail because you're afraid to try it. So you're doomed to fail from the get-go. I wanted to do a church that would reach recovery people. I wanted to do these different things, but I was afraid to do anything. So I failed at it. And what changed that day for me was that if I'm going to fail, at least I'll fail because I tried. I tried and it didn't work. I can fail there. I can live with myself with that because I couldn't. And my life pattern could be summed up in that little scenario of lots of failures because I wouldn't step out to do what I wanted to do. See, if you're in a relationship today, what are you doing to grow it? What are you doing? See, if you have the idea that this relationship ought to work because if it's a relationship, it should work, you don't own it. You're putting it out there for someone else to own. And then this is what will be happen. This is what will happen. You'll be angry when it doesn't work. Well, what I ask you is, what are you doing to grow in your communication skills? What are you doing to grow in that? What books have you read? What audio? Well, I can't tell you how many people I talk to in the office. I go, you know, I got some good information here I could give you to help you with that. And they go, I'm not a reader. As if that's like, good job. Stay stupid. But in our day and age, you don't have to be a good reader. You can get Audible. It's everywhere. You can get Kim, people will read it to you. You get Johnny Cash to read your books. For you, some of you people. Some of you, Johnny Cash was an old time. No. You can get other guys, ladies, to read these books. That's how you learn. But see, if I don't own it, that it's my responsibility to have a good relationship, then I'm leaving it up to chance, to him, to her, if I can only find Mr. Right. Mr. Wright ain't going to hang with you. Miss Wright ain't looking for a guy that's like the last guy. And for her to pick a guy like the last guy says a ton about her. It says way less about the last guy. It says something about you. Okay. See, this is the deal. So anyways, going back to the church deal, I started to own that church. Not in the sense of I'm a dictator, in the sense of God gave this to me, and I'm going to set the direction. And what I come to find out is, God, when you have a vision, see, I always wanted to be a pastor. If God gives you the call to be a pastor, he's going to give people the call to sit and be taught by you. If you call yourself a pastor and nobody ever comes, something's wrong here in the translation. You're missing the mark, right? God's called me to be in a relationship, but nobody ever wants to be in a relationship with me. You better get a good relationship with yourself first. Because there's something about you that's repelling. You might want to look at that. Gosh. None of this is on here. The problem with that is that it's cool while I'm rolling with it, but once I finish, put a period on the long sentence, I don't know where to go. Because the thought is gone. Listen, God has told us he'll be with us. So I'm going to start another one. Anyway, God told us he will be with us. 2018 was a tragic year in some of our lives. My daughter was murdered. If you don't know that, you haven't been coming here long. She was murdered. I had no control over that, although my head would tell me I should have done some things. But the reality is, it happened. Now I have the responsibility to own how I'm going to deal with that. And I embraced it because I've learned over time, I can't control everything that happens. All I can control is me. And so I have to deal with that. And so I want to do the best I can do. So we've done what we can do, and I've learned. I've learned so much. I've learned there's groups for parents of murdered children. I learned there's a lot of pain out there that you don't know till you're in that pain. And then you see that pain is real, and it's there. And I've learned tools. I go to family therapy. I've learned so much. We're taking the kids to family therapy. Why? Because I need to learn how to do that. And I own that. The person that doesn't need to learn is a fool. Because they think they already know when they don't. Any area of your life you want to grow in, you have to step out of that comfort zone, out of that fear of people, places, and things, out of the fear of the failure in other slices of your life, which tend to hold us back, to move into that. To be successful, I have to take risk. To successfully navigate what you don't ask for requires the same risk-taking as to be successful in that in which you are trying to seek. I remember talking to Chris Jones years ago, and he wanted to be in the pastor, and he was doing his OC hardwood flooring. Does amazing work, he and some other guys. But I told him one time, dude, how long have you been doing this? X amount of years. It's time to quit doing under the table stuff. You need to get real and become a real deal businessman. You need to get your license. You need to pay your taxes. You need to step up and do that. Well, you know, he's had the same thing we all have. I'm afraid. Chris Jones, I'm afraid. I go, you're built like a rock. What? See, that has nothing to do with it. It's all in here. It's all in here. You can be all big and bad, but be a baby in the corner in your head. Right? Is he here? Oh, there he is. Okay, forget about him. Who else isn't here I can talk about? And he did. And he's the man. Sometimes we just need somebody to help us and encourage, say, you can do this. My God, I said, Chris, I see your work. You guys are great. You can go from this referral of friends and neighbors and barely you can buy, you can do something. Plus, you'll tithe more, and that's a good thing, too. And that's a blessing for you, too. You add God adds value to you so you can be a value adder to others. That's how it works. That is exactly how it works. And listen, tells us in First Corinthians 6:20, you were bought with a price. It cost God to add value to you. And he says this, therefore honor God with your bodies, which really means your whole being. Honor God the way you do life. That's your responsibility. God bought you. That's his adding value to you. Honor God with your bodies. It brings value to you. You bring something to the plate, and then it brings value to others. Here's one of the things that stops us from adding value. In fact, wait a minute. Let me rephrase that. The number one thing that you will do that will add value to your life is this. Own your time. Own your time. You want to add value? Own your time. I can't tell you how many times people tell me, I don't have time. Yeah, you do. You have 24 hours a day. Nobody's giving you 27. You have 24 hours a day. When you say you don't have time, what you're really saying is time owns me. And it doesn't give me that ability to do other things because I'm so wrapped up in my time. You have 24 hours. I go to the gym at 10 o'clock. That's what I do. When I don't go to the gym at 10 o'clock in the morning, it's because I've moved it aside to add something else that needs to be done in that slot. But that's my slot for going to the gym. I do it. I don't want to. What does that have to do with it? I don't want to. I get to own it. If I don't own my time, I can never own anything else in my life. I don't have time to, I'm so busy. I work so much. I don't have time to develop my relationship with my wife. Then you're going to have a sucky relationship. Just own that. I don't value, just own it, this relationship enough to spend time with it. Just own it. Quit being dishonest. Be honest. Because if you can be honest with little, you can be honest in much more. I own all the choice I make. When I tell my wife I'm going to be home, which I used to do, I'll be home by 5 and I don't come home till Saturday. I am speaking loud and clear what I feel about her. And then I'm dishonest. No, I don't do that anymore. That's a long time ago. I am being dishonest to put it on the time, the clock, the business, the da-da, the da. No, the truth is, I don't consider you valuable enough to put you in that slot. And I'm so dishonest, I'll even lie to you and tell you, yes, I do. No, I really do love you. But I love all this other stuff more. Be honest. See, for some of us, all of us at some level, in 2018, we've been dishonest with ourselves. You need to be honest. See, if I'm honest and I go, I don't manage my time well, and I own that, that is actually freeing. Now I can actually do something about the time. But when I don't own anything, I'm a volunteer. And when I volunteer, it means I can do it and I cannot do it. I can't tell you how many times I talk to couples in that room. And you know what the fight is? Chores in the house. He won't do anything. She won't do it. He does it a little bit. She does a little. There's this battle with the chores. Sometimes we even sit down and I'm making a chore list with them. 2 weeks later, they come back in. I go, well, how did you guys do on the chore list? How, you know, is it working out better? Well, he did the laundry. Let's say the trash. He said he'd take out the trash every day, and he did it for the first 2 days. Then he didn't do it. I go, why didn't you do it? Well, I got busy. I what's he going to say? She didn't have sex with me last night, so I had to punish her. Couldn't take out there. Let's just be honest. She made me mad. You know, this or that. I didn't want to. I'm tired. How am I use the old tired? Own your tiredness. Get to sleep earlier. If you're that tired, go to bed earlier. Go extra. Do something. What do you own it? So I look at the guy and I go, dude, so when you told me your job, your ownership was the trash, really what you were saying is you were volunteering. So that when you volunteered to take it out, and boy, she better acknowledge it, taking out the trash. Give me 10 attaboys for doing it. La, 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 la. Sir, I didn't finish the job and put the liner in, but hey, half the job's better than none of the job. You ought to be happy because I volunteered to do the job I was supposed to do. Let me explain ownership to you. That is my trash can. I own it. When it is full, I empty it because it's mine. I own this. That's ownership. I own this job. I own it. You do the dishes, own them. Own your stuff. Then you're free. The conflict, woo, drops to nothing. She'll want to be with you tonight. Because you're not being a doofus. You're not being a little boy. That's cute for a season, but after a while, a wife don't want a little boy. It's kind of weird. I know, I'm getting all honest with you now. Own your stuff. It's the path to freedom. One, you own taking out the trash? It's 2 minutes. And then the rest of the day, you did your job. You don't even have to think about it. You're not sitting in front of the TV and hearing it. And having to deal. It's done. You're free. You apply that to the areas of your life. You're great. Here's the second problem. So you got to own your time. You got to own what you say you're going to own. See, and that kills a people pleaser. Because whatever people pleaser, whenever they, oh yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do it. No, you're lying. You're dishonest. You just don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So you say you'll do it all. You can't do it all. You're just saying no, but you're saving it for the future. But they'll be happy with you in the present. Listen, you can only do so much in a day. Figure it out. What are your priorities? You have 24 hours. Own that. Here's another myth that we sometimes carry about being blessed. When God adds value to you, it complicates your life. It doesn't make your life easier. That's our idea. Our idea is we think when God adds to us, if God gives you a major raise or a promotion, that complicates your life. Now you have to earn that. Now there's more responsibility. Now there's these other things. Your life gets complicated. When you follow Jesus, you can't get more value than that. To be brought into the family of God, become a member of the kingdom of God. Now you have kingdom purposes. Now you have this other, that complicates your life. Not to mention, now you got to follow God, which entails obedience. That complicates your life. I can't tell you how many couples come in, and they're loving Jesus till they get that boyfriend or girlfriend. Then they come and say, oh, we're going to move in together. I go, you know, the proper way is to be married. That's what God says. Joe. Oh, Joe. First of all, Joe, don't judge me. I'm not judging you, brother or sister. I'm not judging you. But I'll tell you, but Joe, you bring two, stay with us here on the math, Joe. You bring two incomes together it makes our life easier. Plus, we have the bonus to see if we're compatible. Then if that works out, then we'll get married. See how that logic? I go, wow! Well, I never heard such wisdom. You know, you're the first couple in 30 years of ministry to ever give me that insight. I'm telling God tonight. And I'm going to help him out in understanding this dynamic. I get it. But see, didn't you say you owned your walk with God and he's now your leader? So doesn't he get to call the shots? Yeah, but that complicates everything. Exactly. Exactly. Anything you do that adds value to you complicates your life. And the complication is where we learn. You don't learn on easy street. You learn through complications. How many know that getting married? Marriage complicates your life. Now you got to deal with stuff. You'll learn a whole lot about you. You ought to own it. And you'll learn a whole lot about her, or vice versa. Own it. Having children. What a blessing from God. Let me tell you this. Children complicate your life. They complicate it for the duration. Oh, when they're 18 and they move out. They may move out physically, but they dominate here and there. They are still in there. They complicate. We're raising my daughter's, her kids. I have to go to reparenting school. I forgot all this kind of stuff. The two-year-old had a cold the other day. He was wiping his nose on me. And a couple of times he got me in the mouth. I can get all mad at him for being two, or I can own it that, you know what? Always carry tissue, rule number one, with a little one. And diapers. Yes. Wipes, too. Very important wipes. Always have that around. Never leave the house without it. I forgot some of that stuff. So I'm learning again, and I'm embracing the learning. It would have been my choice to do all this. And I can be bitter about, resentful about it. And there are moments. But the reality is, I own what it is. It is what it is, and I own it. I'm going to do the best I can with the hand I've been dealt, and so should you. We each get our hands dealt. Some things happened this year. This was a life-changing event this year. For some of you, it wasn't. But own what you have. As I was tripping on this wood the other day, I came in Friday and they were putting it up and I'm looking at it and I'm going, well, that's interesting. No one conferred with me, but... but my problem was, I gave ownership of this to Aaron. And the guy owned it. When I give ownership to somebody, that means you come and ask me every time you're going to do something. Because some of us think that's giving ownership to them. You know, you give ownership to somebody and every decision they make, you critique it. That's not giving them ownership. You're allowing them to do something as long as they do it your way. That's control. If you're going to give it to them, allow them to have it. And then enjoy what they have. So I'm looking at it. And this message, well, that message was running around in my head. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, that wood is like us. None of those slats are the same. All of them at one time were part of a tree. Yet a carpenter came and cut them off and added value to them by cutting them in ways. Every one of those, though similar, are unique. They've all been cut by the saw. They all know that. Adding value to them costs them. They all have been pierced by nails. Some of them have been drilled through. Some of them hold lights, but all of them hold the cord that goes behind that those fences. And they all have added value to each other to make one fence. They became something in the carpenter's hand, at least in the next month or so, that adds value to one another. They went from one slat to being part of a group of slats. They have a purpose, but they all maintained being wood. So whatever was done to them, they own that they're wood. They don't run away and go, I'm not wood. It's going to hurt. They add value. Now, when it's taken down by the carpenter gets to repurpose that for whatever's in the carpenter's mind to use that piece of wood for, all the way up to nothing. Because there's a bunch of other wood holding up the rest of this building that you never see. It adds value to this. Some of these hold lights and they get to shine the light. But they all add value by what they've been through to become this. And they need to be flexible enough to be ripped from that and used for something else. Even if it means being burnt up in somebody's chimney. You and I, Scripture says, have been chosen by God individually and brought into His kingdom. You have been added value to, and He has given you jobs to do. What you have in your life right now is your responsibility to own. Your job is to handle it well. It is yours. It is not somebody else. Each slat needs to stand up on its own to give itself value in the whole and to add value to everyone else around them. You have that same purpose, except it's far greater. Jesus even said, look at the birds of the air. I feed them. I provide shelter for them. But you're far more valuable than that. You are a member of the family of God. God told me He'd bless me if I stayed. He'd bless me if I left this place. But He said, I gave it to you. It's your job, Joe, to add value. You want to have good relationships? Add value to them. How do you do that? Control your time and learn things. We're going to talk about some tools next week. Learn to be better at it. It's so crazy. We learn some things we embrace. My nephew over there, he went to fire school at Oklahoma State to learn how to do. What did you learn how to do over there? Safety engineering. He did that safety engineering. He didn't wake up and say one day, hey, I'm a safety engineer. He had to learn. But for some of us, learning about other aspects of life, I don't think there's any need for that. We say that without really saying it because we're dishonest. We're always in need of learning. So 2018 was a chunk of time in your life. And like I said, you didn't get to choose everything that happened, but you get to choose every response, every decision in that year. Own it. The good, own. The bad, own. Be honest with yourself and say, this is where I'm not good. I need to learn more. I need to become better at this. And what you did learn, what the beauty of that is, now having learned this, you can add value to others because God will bring people into your life who need to learn from what you've learned. You can save them problems. These guys, I don't know all this wood. If they could talk, I don't know what the history is in each one of those slats' lives. But here's the deal. They're all doing their job today. They're all doing what the carpenter wanted them to do today. Their history is their history, but they're here now, and they know there's going to be changes in the future because that's not going to stay up there the whole time. Together, we're better. Together, we're better. To allow people to, because I know I stepped on some toes in here today. If I stepped on your toes, I'm not really that sorry. Because I say it in love. I say it to help you. You know, you can do with it as you will. But I'm telling you, if your toe was stepped on, that's probably because that's a sensitive area in your life. Probably because you need to deal with it. You need to deal with that. You need to own it, first of all. Say, wow, here's how you own it. Wow, that's a sensitive area in my life. I need to figure out what I need to do in this area. Or you can say, screw Joe, I ain't never coming back there again. And I'm the problem. And you'll notice, if that's the outlook you have, you take that everywhere you go. I love this job except for these people, and I'm out of here. We do not act one particular way in only one particular scenario. Who you are is who you are. Sometimes we can disguise it better. How many know those people that put off that great first impression? It's like they got that foot forward, look at shiny. It's looking good. Super handsome. I want to see the other foot. And at some point, it does come out. Own it. Own your good side, own your dark side. If you're in a relationship, own it. And here's what you need to own it. I want the best relationship I can. So what do I need to learn here? What do I need to learn? How do I need to grow rather than he's a jerk? She's a nag. When someone's nagging on you, they're trying to get a point across that apparently you continually reject as no point. You might want to look at it. If a number of people are telling you you've got an issue, you've got the issue. What is this, psychology 307? Thank you for today's class. Your homework is to take a look at your life and own it. And know this, it gives you freedom. Now I can do something about it. Now I can do something about it. And in 2019, in my particular life, it'll be 163rd, if the Lord lets me live through the year. It'll be 163rd of my life. In the realm of my life, it's actually a small chunk. But I want it to be a good chunk. I want to be productive. I'm already a better dad raising the second kids than I was when I first raised them. I'm already learning more now than I did when I raised my own kids. And I look back and I go, oh, okay. Hey, kids, forgive me. I was doing the best I knew with what I had. And, I would do it different. I make it a point to spend time. There was a chunk of my time when I was raising my first kids is that church was the priority. Just like I was a man, workaholism is kind of runs in my family. And the church held up here. Therese was here and the kids were here. And there was damage. There was damage that today, and God, when God revealed that to me, I owned it. I own that. And this is why I don't want to make that mistake again. So I check myself to make sure my priorities are right. I honor God. I honor my wife. I will raise these kids. I wasn't raising them 11 months ago. Now I am. So that means in my time of 24 hours a day, I had to arrange some things. I had to adjust some things. And so did my wife. She's with them right now. She doesn't come to church as much because they're sick. They're kids. And the two-year-old gets everything because he's at the house and whatever they bring in from school, hey, I'm going to carry it for a while. Because I'm that kind kid, I'm going to give it to Papa. And, we're in that cycle again. And, I know somebody, whoa. Believe me. It's like when they go to bed at 8, the 24-hour time, they go to bed all down by 8. You know, it's like, oh, that seems like free time, but that's like, I got to be in bed in an hour. Because that little guy's up at the crack before dawn. And he's up and he's up. We're ready to go. Now we make him stay in bed till at least the sun comes up. And he's adjusted to it. And, you know, but that doesn't mean he doesn't wake up at 4:30. It's like, dude, I haven't woke up at 4:30 since I drove a beer truck. That was a lifetime ago. Ha, 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 funny one, God. Whoa. Anyway, I got to own my life. You need to own your life. I am a richer man. I am a richer man in all that's happened this year than I was at the beginning of the year, in the sense of growth, in the sense of dealing with what I didn't want to deal with, would never want to deal with, nobody wants to deal with. And I'm more humble, I'm more broken. I've learned to carry a broken heart like I've never known before. I mean, my son was a broken heart. But now it's like all the way broken. But it's also full. There's a full part. Those halves got a fullness to them. And those kids are a joy to my life. And I own all of it. I own, I'm broken. I'm dealing with my wife, the woman I love, and her motherly broken heart. And that's a whole nother thing. And I've learned to make space for that because I want to, you know, I don't want to. I don't want to see the pain. I don't want to constantly be reminded of the pain. I don't want to walk through the pain. I just want to not remember the pain. And, you know, and I don't get to do that. And that's okay. I embrace that. Someday, you know, whatever God wants. I know he gets to call the shots. And so my job, and I'm telling you my story because you have your story. Your job is to carry what you need to carry. Doesn't mean we like carrying it. It means we carry it. And I can be honest with God. I don't like carrying it. I don't like some of your decisions. I don't like it. I didn't ask for it. I don't want it. But nonetheless, put it in the backpack. If you said I got to carry it, I got to carry it. And help me to carry it and bring me into that place. And I do believe the word of God. I am a child of God, and I do believe he's got a plan that he's going to work it all out for good. And I hold on to that. I hold on to it, man. And I continue to journey. My job is no different than any of yours, to be obedient to God. I don't get to call all the shots, but the shots I do get a call, I'm going to own them. And I want to make a good call. I want 2019 for this church to blow up bigger. Not because I'm into bigness, because I don't care anymore. What I care is lives being changed. That's what I care about. And I've learned this year when God has taken me out of a lot of the church life that the church can go on without me. Shock to me. But, you know, God's work is God's work, and I get to do my work. And I've learned the love of you guys toward our family in a way I've experienced it. I can say that. I've experienced it in a way I've never experienced it. You guys held us up and continue to hold us up and continue to bless us. And the staff you have in this church are incredible. And the volunteers, you guys volunteering, and every ministry has gotten more powerful. And it's just, you know, it's just, and I'm just so impressed with you guys and God and my role in it. I get to sit back and go, I played a role. And that's all we ever get to play. But I want to play my role well. I want you to play your role well. Who wants to play their role well? All right, why don't we stand up and let's pray. Dear God, help me to play my role well. Let me overcome my fears by owning everything that I am responsible for. Today, I stop being a volunteer to my responsibilities, and I own them. Like that trash can, I own what I say I own. If I'm in a relationship, I own my part to do well, to follow you in it. to be a blessing. God, continue to add value to my life that I may add value to others. And like this wood up here, whether this is my time to be a fence or something else, I will own that and I will do the best I can. And forgive Joe for that fence thing he just said. Bless us this day. And all God's kids, have a great day. Say amen. All right, see you guys later.